Okay, guys, support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? Microsoft Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams bring together your chats, your meetings, files, and apps all into one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and desktop. So, whether you're sprinting towards a deadline, sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. And it's also available on Mac or as a mobile app. So try out Microsoft Teams in Office 365 and get it together today. Visit office.com/teams to learn more. Again, that's office.com/teams to learn more.
Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls
and gents
can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow, and today we have two very special guests in the studio, Lauren Paul and Molly Thompson from Kind Campaign. I can't wait to tell you something.
Okay, tell us.
It's very embarrassing.
Wait, I love this.
It's, okay, so I put it in my notes because I was like, I need to say this without sounding super weird. So I used to live in Canada. I grew up there. And I grew up in a place called Leduc that's just outside of Edmonton. And then I moved to Vancouver. And I went back to Edmonton to help open a restaurant at this certain point in my life. I think I was 26 or 27. And my girlfriend, Sav, told me about Kind Campaign.
Oh, I love that.
And she was like, you need to follow it. It's like she's like, we should do something, like be inspired by it. And we tried to like think of like a clothing line we could do that had kind sayings on it. That like were punny.
Yeah.
But had like kind, because the like you can sit with us like my favorite thing ever. And so I obviously watched Breaking Bad. So I was following your husband. And so then I saw your relationship dynamic. And then I was like, I don't even care about Breaking Bad anymore. I'm so into this relationship. Like, it's the sweetest thing in the world.
Aww.
So me and my girlfriend were super creepy to the point. This should be my confession. This is my confession.
Bring it.
To the point where he had a video on his Instagram and he was like, hey, babe. And you're like, yeah, babe.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Do people talk about this video?
No, because I remember.
You remember it.
Yeah, totally.
And he's like, what did he say? Like, I love you. And you're like, I love you too, babe. And then he went, oh, babe.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend and I like recreated the video.
Get out. I need to see it.
I will find it for you. I, for some reason, deleted it off my Instagram before I went on to be The Bachelorette because I felt like I was drinking in too many of my posts.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like tone myself down and be like, yeah, America's sweetheart.
Yeah,
not really.
Yeah.
So I took it down because I was drinking in another video.
Yeah.
So I took it down, but I will find it for you.
Oh my
you
God.
Have
that's
to find it.
Amazing.
That sounds like
gold. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And my girlfriend Sav was like, she was like, I told her today because I did the video with her. I'm like, guess who I'm podcasting with? And she was like, those magical women. I love them. Just tell. She goes, I was like, yeah, if anyone has questions, she goes, just tell them I love them. I just love what they're doing.
So sweet.
Yeah. So there's my embarrassing story.
I love that story. It's perfect.
That is so
it's
precious.
Pretty funny, but also a little creepy.
No, it's great.
It's creepy in the best way. Like, not creepy at all. It's just like so heartfelt.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But we actually truthfully talked about what you guys do and how we wanted to start something like that around where we were. Then I ended up going on the show, but we really had intentions of like starting our own like spread kindness movement.
That's so awesome.
In Edmonton, Alberta.
I love hearing stories like that and just, you know, meeting people who have been inspired by the message in some way and have started their own things. Or we have a volunteer program called Kind Ambassadors now, which for years people were like, how do I volunteer for this? And now we have this official program where I think now we have just shy of like 300 women across the world that are going into their communities and spreading the Kind Campaign Assembly and Kind Club. So
what does it mean to be the ambassador? Like, what do you have to be in an area like consistently there?
No.
Because I'm like, I'm in Nashville, but I'm all over the map. But like,
yeah.
Is there a way that I finally get involved with Kind Campaign?
Yeah, definitely. Totally. No, you can be anywhere, which is what is so great, I think, about the Kind Ambassador Program is that it kind of puts the ball in your court or whoever, you know, wants to be a Kind Ambassador. Mm-hmm. And it allows that person to go wherever they are. So if you're moving around, mm-hmm. it's even better because you can just take it to even more schools and communities. But you go into the local area and the local schools and tell them about the programming and bring Kind Campaign assemblies to schools in the area, or sometimes, and this would probably, you would need to be in one place mm-hmm. for a period of time to do this, but Kind Ambassadors also start Kind Clubs in schools and communities. Mm. So sometimes that looks like them just giving the school the information and, you know, having the school do it, or there are times where Kind Ambassadors actually are the mentor person for the Kind Club and they're the one leading the club in the school. Okay. So it's super simple. We give the Kind Ambassadors all the information that they need to bring to the school or to start the club. Mm-hmm. So you could definitely do it wherever you are.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's free of charge. Yeah, all of our totally programming is free of charge for schools.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. So just for people who are listening and don't even know Kind Campaign, which they now will and they will love it, mm-hmm. tell them just a little bit about, like, because it's a nonprofit organization. Yeah. Tell them everything about what they need to know.
Yeah. So Molly and I started Kind Campaign, really started laying the groundwork for it back in 2008, which is so crazy, like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
It's wild.
I bet.
It is. So
you guys are so in sync. You just coughed at the same time.
Oh, yeah. It's a problem. I'm sure many times during this we'll say the exact same thing in the exact same tone. Yeah. It's a little scary. So we both had personal experiences with bullying, mine being in middle school, Molly's in high school, as I think we all have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, growing up, I was just always so saddened and fascinated by the fact that bullying specifically between girls was just kind of this yes. rite of passage, mm-hmm. You know, whether you're in middle school and also as an adult, it happens.
Yeah.
And just really wondering why. And, you know, you hear women say, you know, I have all these guy friends. I don't deal with girls. They're so difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just these things that we kind of grow up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it had never been approached in a serious way, like really sat down and been like, why is this the case? Like,
right.
being a woman and a girl is such a specific experience, and you only know it if you are a girl. So why
right.
don't we unite in that universal
yeah, exactly.
thing? You
yeah.
know, and so Molly and I went to Pepperdine together, and the summer going into our senior year, we sat down and talked about what it could look like to make a documentary about all of that. So that was kind of the beginning, mm-hmm. You know, the seed that then turned into Kind Campaign,
mm-hmm.
And it was really through shooting these local interviews, just seeing how people would react, because nobody had really talked about bullying on any level at
right.
that point.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the hot topic that it is today, so we didn't know how people would react.
Mm-hmm.
And it was seeing women and girls just open up and be so vulnerable with their stories, and it really felt like we were kind of popping the lid off of something, like mm-hmm. people have been waiting for someone to shed light on this. And that was what really inspired Kind Campaign. We kind of looked at each other and we're like, this could be more than just a documentary.
Yeah.
Like, what could we do with this? And
yeah.
this idea for school programs and assemblies and curriculum and all of this just kind of started pouring out of us. So we ended up driving around the country for about 2 months to shoot the film and then kind of test pilot this idea for a school program.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction was just amazing.
Yeah.
We kind of looked at each other. We're like, well, we were filmmakers at that point. We're like, well, are we going to do that? Like, are we public speakers? Like, should we start
yeah.
a nonprofit? Like,
right.
what are we doing? And we just kind of dove in blindly and just went with it. And now, you know, 10 years later, our programming is in thousands of schools across the world. We have Kind Campaign assemblies that take place pretty much every single day of the school year
yeah.
in a school or two, at least one or two schools every day
mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the world. We have about 450 active Kind Clubs around the country or around the world. We have our Kind Ambassador program. We do new projects every year. We did a camp a couple years ago. We're always kind of trying to keep the conversation fresh and but it's just amazing to kind of look back on the last 10 years and see
yeah.
every year Kind Campaign has grown significantly and the amount of people that it's affected. And
right.
The two of us go on tour. You want to talk about our tours
yeah.
that we go on?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we, like Lauren was saying, we've been doing assemblies since that moment, since
mm-hmm.
going on the road to shoot the film. And
yeah.
It was really from seeing just the immense amount of change that was created, because we had no idea what to expect. I remember our very
right.
first assembly. I mean, we had no idea what to expect. Right. But the response from these girls and just like watching all of these friendships mended and conversations take place, we were just so impacted. And that's when we, you know, we realized, okay, we want to do this mm-hmm. forever. Like, this is so powerful and amazing. And so since that point, we have been touring for the last like 9-10 years now, which is crazy. And we what it looks like now is we go on 2 tours a year. So we have our founders tours that take place in the fall and mm-hmm. in the spring. This spring, we're obviously taking off. Lauren just had a little baby girl. Yes. And I'm expecting a little boy in a couple months.
Oh, boy. And you have?
And I have a little girl.
A little girl.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this spring we're taking off, but we'll be back out on the road in October. Mm-hmm. So our fall tour, what that looks like, it's during the month of October, which is National Bullying Prevention Month. And we travel throughout that entire month. And typically we're kind of shooting all over the place. It might look a little different this year because there's mm-hmm. going to be some babes in tow.
Yeah.
And then in the spring, we tour throughout the entire kind of spring semester for schools. And so typically what that looks like is we are on the road for 1 week out of every month mm-hmm. in the spring. And we kind of go and tackle a city. So between both
you
tours.
You do one week every month?
1 week every month.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so between both tours, each tour, we typically speak in about 30 to 40 schools.
Yeah.
Because we speak in 2 schools a day. So when we're on the road, we are on the road. Yeah. We really want to make the most of our time on the road.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, reach as many girls as possible and speak in as many schools as possible. So in total, when we're on the road, you know, throughout the whole year, we speak in about 70 to 80 schools.
Wow.
And that's our founders assemblies. Like Lauren was saying, there's assemblies that take place almost every single day of the school year without the two of us present.
Right.
Because we have an assembly guide that really replicates what we do in schools so that schools can facilitate their own assemblies. And again, like keep it almost identical to a founders assembly with the only difference being that we, you know, aren't there in person. So those happen every day of the school year, which is really crazy to think about. There's one probably happening today, maybe right now.
I mean, it's just so wild. I'm sitting here listening to this, just being like, you hear about so many sad stories on the news, and you, and so you're constantly thinking that there's so much bad. Yeah, but really, like, why doesn't news share stories like this and put it on the news and expand that so that schools can have these kinds of programs mm-hmm. so that we don't have to turn on the news every day to see something sad? Like, why don't we talk more about these kind things?
Totally.
And I don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, and we were really intentional about even like the whole tone of the campaign was very like deeply thought out. So we mm-hmm. called it Kind Campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, we're tackling bullying between girls and women, but you know, we didn't want to call it like the Mean Girl Campaign mm-hmm. or, you know, or something like that. We wanted it to be rooted in positivity mm-hmm. and love and forward thinking and change. And I think that's really served to our benefit. Like mm-hmm, when we go in, you know, obviously during these programs, we're tackling really serious things mm-hmm. and it can get really emotional. And mm-hmm. But with that said, there's light at the end of the tunnel mm-hmm. and they walk out of these assemblies feeling uplifted and inspired and, you know, knowing that they have the capacity to make that choice mm-hmm. to be kind. Mm-hmm. So that was all really intentional from the beginning, you know, keeping it kind of grounded in that sort of tone.
I love that. What is the, like, this mean girl phenomenon? Like, when did it start? Why did it start? Why is it still a thing? Mm-hmm. Because to me, I'm like, I really do feel lucky for my experience in school where mm-hmm. I did come across bullying sometimes. Like, I can remember certain situations where I'd go home and cry and I was bullied and like I can remember certain things, but overall I didn't feel like I had a bad experience until I was an adult. Mm-hmm. And so that now I'm like, I obviously went on a TV show and it opened up my world to so many people that all of a sudden are invited into who I am. And
oh, so brutal.
Right.
And you had a really tough time.
I had
a really
really tough time. And I didn't understand. And I think that was one of the worst things is not understanding why someone could have so much hate towards me for just being myself. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I just was so confused, especially as an adult where I'm still fragile, of course, but not as fragile as I was in high school or like whatever age you are. Probably like honestly, 30 was maybe my strongest year, and that's when it started happening to me. Yeah. So I can't imagine being a younger female.
Yeah.
And going through that as bad as some people do, especially with social media and everything these days.
So totally changed the game. Yeah.
Totally, like, yeah.
I think about being in middle school and how tough that was, and really the extent of that connection between, you know, outside mm-hmm. of school was AIM, instant messenger. Like, that was it.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, now it's like unbelievable the stories that we hear about the pressure that kids face just to keep up appearances, and then just the ways in which people can kind of attack each other mm-hmm. through those formats.
But I mean, I know it stems from people's insecurities and their mm-hmm. own deep-rooted things that they've gone through, but why is it females more so than males that do that to each other?
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, obviously Kind Campaign is focused specifically on females mm-hmm. because there is such a dynamic mm-hmm. that girls and women do go through. By no means are we suggesting that males don't go through this.
No, of course.
Because boys definitely experience bullying, and, you know, men do as well.
Yeah, not taken away from that.
Yeah.
No.
But there is something so specific about females, and I think it is such a universal issue. You know, we haven't sat down with a woman or a girl who has said, oh, yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about. I've never
right.
had that experience.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has some story.
To some
story.
Extent, some are really bad and some have happened, but everyone's gone through
Everyone's gone mm-hmm. through it. And that's, I think, you know, that's a big difference between what goes on between, you know, guys. Not mm-hmm. necessarily everyone has had something similar to females. But I think it is just these deep-rooted insecurities. Mm-hmm. And really, that's actually what we kind of set off on our road trip to find out, because mm-hmm. we were curious about the same thing. We wanted to know, you know, why is this happening, and how can we create change? And what we found was that, you know, there's so many factors, obviously, that play into these situations. And mm-hmm. everyone's situation is different. People are raised differently. They have different home life.
Yeah.
You know, they have different insecurities that they're mm-hmm. battling. But I think at the root of it, it does come back to the insecurities that we face, and that is very specific to our female experience, mm-hmm. More so than, you know, maybe insecurities that males have, just because there's so much pressure on females
yeah.
to look a certain way or act a certain way, or, you know, if you're so scared all the time of misstepping and doing something wrong, and you're worried constantly about what, you know, other people might think of you mm-hmm. specifically in middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. But like we've been talking about, this isn't some magic thing that stops
right.
you know, when you graduate from high school or college.
No.
This is something that continues in the workplace and between women, you know, working or in neighborhoods. And that, I think, even though that's like such an overwhelming thing when you think mm-hmm. about it, it's something that we've all dealt with. It's also such a unifying thing.
Yes.
And when you think about it in that way, it's so hopeful, because
yeah.
we all have this experience. We are the ones who have the ability to create change and to unite in that experience and want to support one another and not tear each other down. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, the messages that we're seeing from the media and things that we, you know, read in magazines tend to feed those insecurities.
Of course.
And so I think takes us talking about this topic and talking to each other about it and talking to friends about it to stop listening to the things that are being portrayed in the media.
Well, yeah.
You know what's really beautiful is, as I was hearing you say that, talk about that, there's almost a part of what, because that's so true and that's what we've always shared, you know, that there isn't really, it's not a black and white thing, and mm-hmm. How the media plays into it and gender stereotypes and mm-hmm. all that. And it's really beautiful to think about how right now that almost feels like that's changing so much.
It is shifting, 100%.
You know? So, like, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, if we were doing this podcast, you know, 8 years ago when we started this, we would say that and that would be the end of the conversation. We're like,
yeah.
okay, now what do we do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, as I was hearing that, that's all still a part of the conversation, but it almost feels a little dated. It's almost feeling a little dated. Because everything really is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And like to think about how just like the evolution of that conversation since we started Kind Campaign, how that has evolved mm-hmm. and how like,
and how, yeah, how your conversation is different now from the success of it.
No,
yeah,
it totally is. Like the amount of, you know, organizations and people that are coming out and using their voice to mm-hmm. encourage women to, you know, share their experiences and, you know, just empowering young girls and, you know, really battling the things that we've been dealing with for so long.
Right.
You know, it's the Time's Up movement. Like, all of this is really, I feel like, more prominent even than, like, the negative side of it right now, which is really beautiful.
I always think about that because it infuriates me to have all these conversations but then not have a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I feel like what you guys have done such a good job of is actually following through and coming up with a solution and spreading it through different schools and trying to get these programs in schools and talking to the people who are going to be the next generation and having a different message than, because nobody's really talked about it before.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody talked to me about this kind of stuff in high school.
Yeah.
And especially with media too, it's like there's positives and negatives to social media because that's, I found, even as a 32-year-old woman, that I'm sitting there looking at social media thinking, that's what I'm supposed to look like. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I really, I actually am an ambassador for Raw Beauty Talks, which they are funding programs to go in schools called Free to Be, and where they're actually having these conversations. Because social media is such a big deal now, that they're having these conversations that what you see on Instagram isn't real, and it is a highlight reel, and that's your expectations. Like, let's all try and just be who we are and comfortable in our own skin, because all you're seeing these days is Instagram filtered photos, edited photos, all everybody's highlights and what, you know, on their best moments.
Oh yeah,
and it's not like you're just looking at it, you know, once a week or something. It's people are spending 8 hours a day.
Oh yeah.
Looking
totally.
and feeding their brains with so to bring these kinds of things and awareness to younger people in schools is going to just change their way or shift their way of thinking when they go, you know, so by the time they are 30, because now I'm like, how am I just talking about this now?
Right.
And I'm so passionate about it and I'm so into this stuff because I'm like, oh, I feel like that's the reason I went on this show, is to have some sort of platform where now I can, like, have these conversations and reach younger women and reach women of all ages, to be honest, and bring people like you two on to have this conversation, that you're actually doing something about it rather than just having these conversations and then being like, I don't know the solution.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that's something, like, talking about, you know, doing something about it, that just is constantly inspiring us to, you know, continue coming up with new programming and continue furthering our assembly program and trying to get it into as many schools as possible, is because of the moments that we see take place during the assemblies. We have these three different activities. We have the kind pledge, kind apology, and kind card. And the kind apology, I mean, these are just simple sheets of paper, like just like printed sheets of paper. But they have so much power within them. And there have been so many times in these assemblies where Lauren and I just look at each other and we, you know, with tears in our eyes, because we're seeing the girls take ownership of their voices and feel so empowered to use their voice and see the power that they have within themselves to, you know, whether that be write a pledge and make a promise to start creating change within themselves or within the school or community, or specific to the kind apologies, you know, write an apology to someone for something that they've
said or done. Which is so powerful.
Which is so, so powerful. And I think is also so important, because that's another message behind Kind Campaign, is that we're not pointing the finger at anyone. We're not suggesting that, you know, someone's a mean girl or a quote-unquote bully, because we've all been on both sides of this issue. We've all been affected by it, of course, but we've also all said and done things that have negatively impacted other people as well. And I think there's so much beauty within that, because when you put these cards in their hands and give them the opportunity to take ownership of what they've done and have those conversations, that can be really scary. You know, it's scary to say I did something wrong and I hurt your feelings.
Absolutely.
And please forgive me,
that's,
and
still
put yourself,
like,
out there like that.
Not only in that age, but I mean, even in my relationship, like, why is that so hard for an adult to admit that they've done something wrong and acknowledge somebody else's feelings and say and take ownership and be like, I apologize, like, that was not right, and I'm really sorry. Like, that's been something that we've been taught to think, like, oh, you're weak.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing, you know, reminding during these assemblies, and for anyone listening right now, just to know that obviously there's so much power in an apology and how freeing it not only is for the person you're apologizing to, but for yourself as well. Like, you know, you have no idea, like, how something like that has been locking you up in different ways. And to see these young girls, you know, handing someone an apology and then, you know, embracing that person and moving forward.
Yeah.
It's such a you know, you just grow so much through yeah. that. It's really...
And that'll never stop, too. Like,
yeah.
from what, no matter what age you are,
oh, yeah.
that'll never stop, that the power of an apology.
Mm-hmm.
Even just being on the other end, like, if Sean does something that hurts my feelings and he apologizes, I'm like, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that is honestly yeah. all I needed to move that's forward it. Is totally. For you to just say that you're sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to have your feelings acknowledged as well.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think a lot of times when, you know, we're going through these things, whether it's with... like in a romantic relationship or in a friendship, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's in middle school or presently, you know, as adults, you just want your feelings to be acknowledged.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. by someone saying, I'm sorry, and acknowledging that what they did hurt you, that just feels like you feel like, okay, that was okay that I felt that way. I'm not
yeah.
a crazy person
right.
for like being upset and sad
right.
that hurt my feelings.
Because now they've acknowledged
because
it.
Because they've acknowledged it and they've said they're sorry, and
yeah.
then you can kind of, you know, start fresh with that person. Or, you know, if that relationship or friendship should not be moving forward, you
yeah.
can take that
closure.
In and say, yeah,
yeah,
and get some closure and then move on and not just kind of have that weight on your shoulder.
Okay, you guys know this has been a process for me, but I have been decorating my home for over a year now. So let's talk about Article. Article is the online furniture retailer that respects your time and your taste. Their design is as thoughtful as a Pinot Noir, as bubbly and fresh as Prosecco, and my favorite, as wallet-friendly as happy hour. More than just a pretty chase, Article's shipping is as great as their selection. Article groups your order and ships for a flat fee of $49 nearly anywhere in the U.S. and my home country, Canada. Even better, in-stock items can be expected within 2 weeks. I am so excited because I got a new couch from there, and it's on the way. Article knows that Off the Vine listeners like their whites chilled and their reds juicy and their sofas comfy and stylish. So that's why they're offering Off the Vine listeners $50 off their first order of $100 or more. But this order is only valid until May 31st. So just go to article.com/offthevine and your discount will be applied at checkout. That's Article, article.com/offthevine.
I always wonder what it would be like too. Like, I'm like, I should come up with a magazine that actually just compliments other people, because, you know, mm-hmm. like, I mean, yeah, we have social media, but magazines have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And I always wonder why it brings people joy to actually spend money on reading about other people's miseries. Like, mm-hmm. why do you do that? And
yeah.
like, where does that stem from?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I wonder what that would be like or look like to have some sort of media where you're actually like complimenting mm-hmm. celebrities or mm-hmm. other people like that are out there
yeah.
and being like, oh, her body looks so great and
exactly.
she looks so happy
yeah.
and come out with like a magazine that's not trash.
Well, yeah. it's so interesting to think when we first started Kind Campaign, you know, about a year later is when the conversation around bullying kind of took this mm-hmm. national, it became a national conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we had all these different media outlets and like huge companies coming to us to like do a reality show or like, how can we get
yeah.
into Kind Campaign's world and like see what's going on in schools. And we would walk into these meetings with these very big companies
yeah.
and be like, okay, like this could be cool, but we're so protective of the girls
of course.
That were, you know, serving. And so we need to have like control or like sign off on everything so
yeah.
that no one's being exploited.
Yes.
Like, we're not doing this to like create drama.
Right.
And it was so interesting during those conversations. Like, we would beg these companies to be like, we'd be like, you know, we really feel like, and again, this was 10 years ago. So it was before like this wave of like positive
mm-hmm.
media and content. We were like, I think people like kindness and actually will, like
respond.
Go in that direction. They'll respond to mm-hmm. positivity. Like, you don't need the drama.
Yeah, like look at Ellen DeGeneres.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard for these companies at that point to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting now to kind of see how that's evolved and how now
yeah.
it's like there's shows specifically that are just like feel good, you
yeah,
know, and
yeah.
like t-shirt companies that
yes.
are like kindness is cool. And
yeah.
you know, it's like that's all changed so much since we started it. And I feel like we had that instinct about it. We're like, no, people will respond to this. Like, we're over it. It's like not mm-hmm. cool to be rude. Like
yeah.
we're over
you had that mm-hmm. instinct, but you also had that impact that you did start a change.
Yeah.
And you, I hope you give yourselves a lot of credit for a lot of these things, because I do think you started a movement.
Thank you. Honestly, we've done it so many times. Where we're like, like the exact same. Yeah.
You probably can't tell that there's even two people.
That is interesting.
Thank you so much.
It is interesting, though, because just from being in the TV world, too, like, it still bothers me watching The Bachelor, where I'm like, why are they trying to pit this woman to be the villain? Like, why do you need a villain for people to tune in?
Exactly. Right.
And we all say it. We're like, oh, if that person wasn't there, you wouldn't watch because she's the entertainment. But that's also the person you absolutely tear apart. Yeah. And there's still a human being on the other side of that, you know, like
with a story,
whether or not they do rub you the wrong way, whatever, they still are a human being on the other end of that. They're not playing a character on a reality show. That's them.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all like, they, you know, they may not know better.
Totally.
And so for us to sit there and enjoy laughing at a real person, not a character.
Yeah.
Is so sad to me.
Yeah.
But then I try so hard to think about the other way, where it's like we are having these conversations and there is a movement and there is positives to social media and people who do have a voice and use to or choose to use it in a positive way. That's a great thing about social media.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. Well, and I feel like that it's also a place for movements like this to grow. And I think kind of combining those two things, I feel like the response when we put out You Can Sit With Us, which when we did that on the 10th anniversary of the Mean Girls coming out release.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had no idea how people would respond or if people would be into it.
Well, I remember that stuck with people. That landed. Yeah.
Like, it was so cool seeing. I remember we put it out that morning and we were speaking, I think in Arizona or I don't know. We got on a plane. We put it out like during the assembly while the girls were watching the film. We, you know, finished the assembly, got on a plane and then landed, and it had exploded and like gone viral. And we were like, wait, this is so incredible and so beautiful to see how many people just like see that and get so excited by that and want to promote that because it is this positive message.
People lean into kindness when it's there, you know.
It's just about bringing it there. Like
it's like about putting it out there and making it be the cool thing. And I think like you were saying, Laura, like it is cool to be kind and but I think you're right. I think that is a new thing in a way. But it's cool to use social media in that way to, you know, put that out there. And also as a reminder, because I think it can be a really scary place on social media.
Of course.
Like you were saying, like, you know, there are real people behind these accounts. There are real people behind, you know, these reality shows. And at the end of the day, we all have a story, and it's so important to remember that before you like quickly type something off,
right?
And fire and it off always, in the comments.
It always breaks my heart when I see like, because I still get, I mean, absolutely terrible comments, and when I'm like, I just want to, I'm intrigued as to where this comes from and who you are as a person. So I go to their profile if I see something like really nasty, and it breaks my heart because I've talked about this so many times. It's always a female.
Yeah.
It's usually a mother, and it's
an adult. Where you're like, it's so shocking,
and I'm like, I'm somebody's daughter. You have daughters. You're somebody's daughter. Like, how do you not think to just be kind to somebody? Like, why is that such a challenge to people? Especially, you know, you are both moms now. Like, you just have a different perspective on everything. Oh, but also, like, could you imagine?
No.
Definitely.
Well,
not.
I remember like probably my greatest troll, like the person who was like said the craziest things to me of anyone.
My greatest troll.
My number one troll. I remember going to this woman's account because same thing. I was like, who is this human? Like, they're just being so mean.
Right.
And relentless.
Yeah.
You're like, did I do something to them? Who are they? Like,
And it was an adult woman, a mother, and she was a teacher. Do you remember that? And I remember being like, what? No. And
so disappointing.
Yeah, it's just that thing where you're like, you know, going online and, you know, if you scroll through the comments on like a YouTube page or like anything, any comment section is like the darkest place on the planet. Yes. Right. And it's like you think about, you know, who's saying these things and why. And typically they're like adults at their work desk or at home with their kids. And it's really amazing. One of my favorite things to do is when someone says something mean to me online, I love commenting back in like the nicest.
Me too.
Yeah, right.
Totally. I'm like, so good.
I'm like, I'll just like approach them directly and just say, hey, like, that really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, and I'll even, you know, say something like, I hope you have a great day. And,
yeah,
you know, and just like totally come from this place of like humanizing the moment, mm-hmm, and humanizing myself and, yes, reminding them like I'm a person.
Yeah.
And
being honest, what, yeah, you said actually just really hurt my feelings. Yeah. Like, where, yeah, did that come from?
Yeah. Or like if they say something, you know, commenting on me and Aaron or on Kind Campaign or whatever, and like and actually explaining like, no, actually, this is the situation.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I hope you, you know, think about this the next time you want to go, yes, say something to someone that, you know, we don't always receive the right information, or like there's a human on the other side, mm-hmm, of a phone or a computer, whatever. And 100% of the time when you do that, or at least in my experience, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I shouldn't
have
said
that. Respond.
I didn't,
yes,
think, you know,
that's,
and it's
the mate. Yes.
And there's this, and then it's great. And you hope it's like a learning lesson and that they think twice before they do that to someone else.
That is exactly what I do, because I'm a little bit of a sarcastic ass sometimes. But it's so funny because I do the same thing where I want to respond with, I mean, a little bit of sarcasm, but also like kindness, where I'm like, I'm like, oh, you're like, you seem like you would be such a great person. I'm looking at your profile, yeah, and you've got children. I hope you can like find it in you to maybe change your way of thinking about the same thing. And they respond the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like they realize, oh, you're a human. Oh, I didn't think you'd see this. And then you're like,
right,
what was, like, well, that outlet for you?
It. Yeah.
If I didn't see it, like, what?
Yeah.
So what did that bring you? And sometimes I'll even go as far as to have the conversation, like, I'm just curious, what did that bring you?
Yeah.
Because I challenge you to actually say something positive to, mm-hmm, somebody, and I bet you'll feel better.
Yeah.
And they are always, yeah, same thing. Always the response of, oh my gosh, you're right. And then people will give me a hard time, like, why do you respond to these trolls? And I'm like, because I truly believe that if I do in a certain way and choose who I respond to, like,
yeah,
maybe they will think twice the,
totally,
next time. And maybe I will just change a couple people, you,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
and that's fine with me, mm-hmm, to respond to trolls, because does it bother me? Yeah, I'm like annoyed by it, but I don't believe them.
I'm, yeah,
like, right, what they're telling me. People tell me all the time, like, oh, you're too skinny or blah, blah. I'm like, well, that's my body.
Yeah.
Like, I've dealt with that for a long time now. That's, yeah, just my body. And so I don't let it affect me to the point where it's like ruin my day. But then, right, I just want to ask them why.
Right. Yeah. Like, what's going on in their life,
yeah,
that's their outlet.
And just to like poke them, be like, hi, mm-hmm, I'm,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you know.
Heard you.
And it's kind of scary, like, because the response is so the same every time, where,
yeah,
it's like this light bulb. They're like, oh, hi, like, I'm so sorry,
yeah,
you know, and it's, mm-hmm, genuine, like,
yeah,
you feel it's genuine. They're like, oh wow, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's so scary and crazy about that is just thinking about, like, when I was talking, we were talking about this with Jess Wiener, when we were talking about social media,
mm-hmm,
and how it's like literally affecting our brain chemistry.
Yes.
And you think about, I think about yesterday, like, I definitely went on Instagram a few times, and you're scrolling through and it's just this like robotic thing, mm-hmm, like, I couldn't tell you a single thing that I looked at yesterday,
mm-hmm,
not a single, yeah, post, don't remember a single picture, mm-hmm, nothing. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing with the way people communicate. They're, mm-hmm, like firing something off and they're,
and
like,
they,
oh,
think about it again.
And like, yeah, vomiting on someone's page and probably don't even know why, like,
yeah,
and then go back, you know, to work from their lunch break and like,
yeah,
don't even remember what they said. And,
yeah,
it's like this thing where I feel like our phones are just totally numbing us to, you know, interpersonal communication, mm-hmm, and relationships, and like,
there's
but
no,
the moment you take a minute to just be like, hi, that wasn't nice, like, that,
yeah,
really hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh yeah, like, we're humans. Like,
that's,
I shouldn't,
like,
have done
the moment
that
you, that there's a connection there,
totally,
which,
right,
is so strange.
Like the human, like the true human connection.
Right.
Like,
cause the social media thing, there's such a disconnect of people. And like that, I said this on a podcast yesterday. I'm like, that's why I love podcasting. It's like,
mm-hmm,
we are in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We are having conversation,
mm-hmm,
about important things. We're not distracted. I'm not doing mindless like scrolling.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not feeding my brain with negative things. It's all positive. And,
yeah,
that's what I find, like, even before I went on TV and had any sort of platform, I wanted to be on radio and I wanted to have my own show,
yeah,
and like,
mm-hmm,
impact people. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it.
Well,
which,
and props
amazing,
to you for taking
the way.
Yeah.
Thank,
well,
you.
There we are on the same wavelength.
Yep. There you are.
Take it, girl.
No, I was just going to say, that's amazing that, like, you know, you have taken this platform that you,
yeah,
have, and you are having conversations like this and you're putting positivity out into,
yeah,
the world, because I think it is so important. And everything that we've been talking about, you know, has been kind of our experience presently. But then I also flip and think about
a middle schooler or a high schooler mm-hmm. connected to social media. And we've seen this firsthand being in yeah. schools and seeing their experience, because we're in a place where, like you said, you don't let it ruin your day. Like right. you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And yes, it does affect you, but you're not right. going to let that completely ruin your day.
Right.
But I feel like middle schoolers and high schoolers that we've seen who have dealt with this don't necessarily have that
their identity
confidence.
Is wrapped up in that.
Yeah, they don't have the wherewithal to be able to separate themselves
right.
from whether it's comments or like
comes
their
from,
value
yes.
within a social media account. And mm-hmm. we've seen firsthand, there's an experience actually down at Lauren's middle school,
high school.
This was several okay. years ago now. So this, I mean, I feel like every year social media just becomes this bigger and bigger mm-hmm. beast. So this is like, I want to say almost 5 years ago, maybe mm-hmm. even. And during the assembly, oftentimes we'll like say out in the audience, there's certain girls that we can just kind of, we just know like they're going through something
yeah.
because of the way that they're taking in the assembly and mm-hmm. experiencing it. And we both picked up on this one particular girl, and we kind of had this feeling like afterwards we'd probably be having a conversation with her. She'd probably come up to us, and she did, you know, right away, kind of beelined. And we ended up kind of stepping aside because what she was going through just made her so emotional, and she was crying. And so we ended up out in the hallway with her after the assembly. And we hear stories all the time from girls that are just extremely devastating mm-hmm. about things that might be going on at home or self-harm that they're doing or mm-hmm. just a countless number of things mm-hmm. that just break your heart. And so we were kind of expecting, you know, some crazy story to come out about what she's going through because of this
she
emotional
so
experience
right,
that
yeah.
she was like showcasing in front of us.
Right.
And so when we got into the conversation and she opened up and shared with us what was going on, it was all centered around this group of quote-unquote friends mm-hmm. who decided if they were going to be their her friend that day based on the number of likes that she got on
no.
her Instagram account and based on the number of followers that she had.
God.
And there was a quota that she had to meet. And if she did not meet that quota or like that number of likes or number of followers, then she knew she would go to school that day and have no one to talk to and wouldn't have anyone to sit with. Which, like, I'm going to cry right now thinking about that because that's such
I'm
a real thing. Like,
that
was her experience. Like, getting up in the morning and it was mm-hmm. all centered around this social media account and this like value based like number. They put a number on if she was going to have mm-hmm. someone to talk to at school that day. And
that number is now she's like, that's what I'm worth.
Yeah.
You know?
And like that's like, and that's where she feel like that was, that's how she felt her value was. And that's what she battled then every day, like wanting to attain that so that she could have quote-unquote friends, you know, talk to her at school and sit with her at lunch. And just watching her emotional experience process that mm-hmm. at such a young age, and it all, again, is centered around, you know, this device.
Yes.
Just was so heartbreaking for us and also so eye-opening to
yeah.
how young people's lives truly are so centered around social media.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of terrifying now as moms, like
of
thinking
course.
About if this is where we are right now, like what's to come,
like
what's in the future.
Well, and she shared with us too, this was such a vulnerable moment that like throughout our whole conversation
oh, yeah.
with her, this broke my heart like into pieces. She was saying, so now, you know, instead of going home and doing my homework or like going to soccer
oh, no.
practice or whatever, I sit and I create fake accounts to like my own pictures mm-hmm. and to follow myself every
oh, my
day
God.
So that I can meet that number so that they'll acknowledge me.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, wow, like that. And you want to just be like shaker and be like, it doesn't mean
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. I
but
know.
But it means everything.
It means, yeah.
And like, it's just.
That
yeah,
is
really
heartbreaking. Because you think about like when we were in school, again, going back to that, like if we did have social media in mm-hmm. that time, how hard that would be because mm-hmm. you wanted acceptance so badly
oh, yeah.
and you got all of your self-worth from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you two as moms, and you probably think about this all the time, like how do you give your child that like power to love themselves,
the tools, yeah,
the mm-hmm. tools, like how do you set them up for success to have self-worth from themselves,
right?
And I don't know if that's something that you can answer, but like how do you
yeah.
do that?
Yeah.
Just because
your kids are going to be who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go through hard times. And it's mm-hmm. like, do you want them to go mm-hmm. through some hard times? Because that's when you grow. But mm-hmm. like, how do you sit back and watch yeah. that and be okay with it without just, like mm-hmm. you said, wanting to shake them yeah. and be like, no,
yeah.
high school
yeah.
doesn't matter.
Well, speaking to a mom's experience, I have a 1-month-old, so I'm yeah. very fresh at this. She's a month today.
Oh, what is her name?
Story.
Story. Is there a story behind that?
Kind of, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank Isn't you.
It's pretty. Beautiful. She's so cute.
Yeah. I'm so obsessed with her. Well, actually, I had it made up in my mind that her name was Annabelle for 9 months. I was like, that's
really?
My favorite name, Annabelle, yeah. like call her Belle.
Yeah.
And Aaron loved Story.
Yeah.
And we found that name. He met someone. Is actually Bryan Cranston's daughter's friend.
Okay.
That he met at an event. And I remember him coming home and he's like, Taylor's friend's name is Story. How cool is that name? And she's older, you know, they're in their like early 20s.
Oh, really?
And so he asked her, he was like, did you like growing up with that name? Like, did other people like it? Because yeah. it's, you know, not, it's unusual.
So
just kind of like feeling it out.
Right.
And she's like, I love my name
really?
So much. Like, it's such a part of me. And so that's where we found cool. it. And then throughout the pregnancy, we kept kind of going back and forth. And I was like, we both felt like this. We're like, let's just meet her and see
yeah.
how we feel. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels odd to just name her. Like, we haven't even right. seen this babe and, like, right. felt her energy.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because I was so obsessed with Annabelle.
Yeah.
And the minute I met her, I was like, she's not Annabelle. Like, that's not her.
Really?
And she was Story. And so her name is Story Annabelle. Annabelle's her middle name.
Gosh. What a beautiful name.
Isn't it cute?
I absolutely love it. I love that. I've never yeah. heard that name before.
Yeah.
That, I won't steal it, but I'm like, I love that. I always think about baby names.
Yeah.
And like, I can't wait to be a mom.
Oh,
and I just love hearing people's names. What is your daughter's name?
Lila.
And do you have a name picked out for a boy? You don't have to tell me, obviously.
No, well, yes and no. We do and we don't. I like, it's so funny because with Lila,
I love the name Lila, by the way.
Lila
so
May.
It's beautiful. Lila May.
Yeah. And for so long, I mean, like, we didn't even know if it was, like, at the gender reveal when we were like, is it a boy or is it a girl? Mm. We found out it was a girl and I, like, screamed out, like, Lila May Thompson without double checking with my husband.
Whoopsies.
First. Yeah. But we just knew, like, that yeah. was going to be the name, so it was fine.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for the whole, like, I was just, like, Lila, like, talking to her.
Yeah.
And so she was Lila, like, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the exact opposite this time around, which is so crazy because we were so set with
yeah.
her. And with him, we have a name that we're, like, 99%.
Yeah.
Like, Chris only refers to him as this name.
Yeah.
But I feel like we haven't, and maybe this is just, like, second baby. There's so much going on.
Right.
I feel like we haven't, like, thought about it enough. Mm-hmm. But I also am getting, which I never felt this way with Lila. Like, I was like, no, that's her name. Like, I'm going to see her, and she is just going to be Lila.
Yeah.
I never had the thought of, like, I just feel like I need to meet
right.
her. But I feel like I can't, like, 100%, like, say, yes, this is going to be his name.
Yeah.
A, because I think we need to brainstorm a little bit more. But I mean, I think it's going to be what we think it is. But I also am getting this vibe of, like, I just feel like I want to meet him and just make sure.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll see.
You got one of each. That's pretty special.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
I feel like everyone
this is foreign to me. A boy I'm,
right.
like, kind of scared of.
Everyone I know, all of my close friends have kids and my sister. My sister's the only one that has a boy and a girl. Everyone else that I'm close to has, like, either two girls, two boys, two girls, two
yeah.
boys.
That's fun.
And
too.
I'm like, I just love talking about it. Do you see me, like, yeah. light up? I'm like, yeah. I love babies. Like, I love babies.
They're so special.
Yeah, but it must be so wild to know that you are having this impact and then to have two daughters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, both of you having a daughter. Like,
totally.
That's just so, I feel like the universe is like needs you to have and raise them to be these
some
strong
ladies.
Women and
well and you were pregnant on a tour I was pregnant on our last tour so we're like speaking to these girls like watching them go through their stuff and like I'm growing this little human as this little girl and it was so just a really surreal thing to kind of just think about her future and what that looks like.
Okay, guys, I know I talked about not wearing deodorant on the podcast with Alexis, but that is a rare occurrence for me. There is a new active deodorant for women made by Secret, the one and only brand, the only one I use. It's called Secret Active. It is activated by activity, so it's designed to work when you are moving around a lot. That could be fitness, but it doesn't have to be. Most of us are moving around during the day at some point to do something. Secret Active is designed with long-lasting scents, which provides a constant reassurance that it is working. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes when I'm at Target, I'll just like go smell Secret scents of deodorant. Is that weird? Yeah, it is. Is that a confession? I think so. Secret Active. Buy some.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
From Podcast One and the voice of the American people, it's time to fight back with Barbara Boxer.
It's so hard, I think, for the average person who has to get up in the morning to follow this stuff.
This is a problem solvable. All we have to do is look around the world. They have made a difference in Florida. It's unbelievable.
Listen free and subscribe to Fight Back with Barbara Boxer, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
I wanted to say really quickly, because before we started talking about names, you had asked about like how you empower like your daughter. And
yep.
I was saying, you know, I'm obviously so fresh at this. I'm not suggesting that I know how to parent quite yet.
Of course you do.
Well, yeah, a little tiny bit. But something that we've always shared with parents, just based on our experience being in schools, working with young girls for so long now, one is that it's so important to share your own story with them. Mm-hmm. When we go into a school, the first thing we do is talk about our own experiences.
Yeah.
And if you can just break down that wall and been like, I've been there too.
Whatever. Yeah, because you're not like speaking to them as you're above them and that you don't understand. You're like, hey, same thing with like my girlfriend always, she'll, sorry to interrupt you, but she'll get down on their level.
Yes.
And speak so like at the same, instead of talking down to them. It's like, no matter what you do in life, if you want to relate to somebody or have impact, I think that's important to share like common ground.
Totally.
Oh, and so thankfully they think that we're not that much older than them. Yeah. Knock on wood. I hope that continues. So that like they look at us very much as like kind of a big sister role.
Of course.
Yeah. That plays a part too in what you're about to say.
Yeah. But just, sharing your story, letting them know you've been there too, whether you were, you know, the victim or like if you were mean to someone and you regret it, that's even more powerful in some ways to share like what you would have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're able to do that and have that conversation, they're going to feel more comfortable to come to you, obviously, to share whatever they're going through. But I think one of the most important pieces of advice that we give to parents is to get your kids enrolled in extracurricular activities because you have to go to school, right? And you have to see those people every day. You're kind of stuck in this routine. And that can be really tough. But figuring out what it is that your son or daughter is passionate about, you know, do they like acting? Do they like soccer? Do they like science? Like whatever that looks like, do they want to play guitar? And if you can figure out a way to support that creative passion, whatever that is, it creates a confidence outside of school and it creates a community outside of school. You start to meet people that are like-minded, that are into the same things as you. And I know for me, thinking back on my middle school experience, I loved guitar. I was a tennis player, and I was really involved with Young Life, which is like a youth program. And, you know, there were a lot of people that didn't go to my school that I could kind of escape what I was going through and just be myself without all of those strings attached. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for
me. That's a great point, actually, that you don't have a choice. You go to school every day. You are surrounded by who you're surrounded with.
Yeah, and it just is
by circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rather than getting out and having something that you're passionate about and surrounding yourself with people that you love to be around.
Yeah, and then through them kind of, you know, learning what it is that they're passionate about and, you know, taking a class or whatever that looks like, supporting that, you know, you're able to remind them that there's more than just your school experience.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole world waiting for you. Mm-hmm. And this is just one chapter of your story. And I think that's one of the most, you know, poignant points that we make during our assemblies is just to remind them that there's a whole life waiting for you.
Right.
And as much as this feels like your whole world, it's not.
I always think back to, like, to my experience in high school. I mean, I don't even really remember a lot of things from high school, which in the moment you think it's the biggest moment of your life.
Yeah,
and it's
totally.
Like, that's all that matters.
That
and it is at that point. But that's, again, that light at the end of the tunnel kind of thought where you just want to encourage them and be like, I support you and I understand because when I was in school and blah, blah, blah. And know that there's just so much more to come for you. Okay. Same thing with, I mean, being 25 or 26, I was the most lost I've ever been in my life. And just in a matter of a few years, I'm like, holy shit, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, that's a few years ago, which is not a long time ago. I was like on the ground crying, like lost. And now I'm just like, oh my gosh, in a matter of a few years, I've not only found myself or like got to like really know who I am, but I feel like I sit in a podcast room or I sit talking to, I go to around to school sometimes too and talk to, I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I thought, like, life's over.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's crazy. And I feel like now we are able to have that perspective, having lived through what we've lived through. And we still have so much, you know, ahead to learn. And we'll be looking back at this moment in time at some point and being like, remember where we were then and here we are now. But I feel like when you're in school, it's so hard to wrap your mind around really and truly, like, all of the things that are ahead of you.
Because
it is so, like, your world, that is your whole world.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to acknowledge that and not, like, take that feeling away from them because, like,
yes,
I mean,
exactly.
We all remember, like, that was our world. Like, that girl that we were talking about, her world was, like, on her phone based on, you know, her friends talking to her at school. And so it's so important not to just say, oh, like, you're going to get through this, like, what you're going through doesn't matter right now. And, you know, you'll see that one day. It's like, no, but really, like, it's okay that you're feeling this way because this is important to you right now. But just really, really, really hold on to the fact that there is so much ahead of you. And there will be a point in time where you look back on this moment and you realize its insignificance.
Yes.
Or also equally its significance in teaching you more about yourself and learning about yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know, I think I can speak for both of us that we wouldn't take back what we went through when we were in school because it led us to where we are today.
You're helping so many people just through your own experiences. And that's, I mean, we talked about this earlier. I don't even think we were recording with talking about failures and thinking of them as stepping stones instead of failures and what you go through in life and even mistakes that you make. Who doesn't learn from a mistake?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can remember a specific time that I didn't like a girl in, I can't even remember, I think I was in the seventh grade. And my girlfriends were trying to convince me to push this girl into a locker. And I didn't do it. But they were trying to convince me. And I think someone ended up pushing her. But I remember feeling like, this is wrong. This is wrong. But I didn't like her. So in my head, I remember thinking, like, should I do it?
Yeah.
She ended up calling the cops. And I had to go in and make a statement. And then my parents were, like, so devastated, you know, because they thought I did this. And again, I didn't do it, but I remember being in the moment and not even knowing who did it. And I had to write a statement and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember in that moment, I was like, this is, like, heartbreaking for me to go through. That this girl was obviously so affected that she went to the police, that I even thought about being mean to her. And now I'm sitting in a police station writing a statement on how she was, like, affected by this, and it really stuck with me. And that was in the seventh grade. And then I can remember other times being on the other end and getting bullied, but, like, it's just so wild the power of other people in that fragile state of your life and just learning how to navigate those feelings and having the self-love and awareness to get through it. And yeah. And now you're just, look at where you are.
Oh, we love what we do and feel absolutely. Really fortunate to be able to go in and have these conversations and make an impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just like, why doesn't all schools have this program? Like, I don't know. Let's get the word out there.
Yes.
We don't have much time left, but I wanted to do confessions and I wanted to tell you something that I think is really cool. So all the people that listen to this podcast have impacted me in some way because I can't believe how all these women come together through Off the Vine podcast. And so I started a Facebook page and my girlfriend really encouraged me to do it. She's like, it can be such a community. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I've always wanted like to do live podcasts and bring everybody together, but Facebook seems to make sense.
Yeah.
And so it's just something I was really proud of that I truly believe that since I heard about Kind Campaign, it's always been in the back of my mind of how to do something like that. And I thought of you guys while making the Facebook page.
Oh, I love that.
And honestly, it's been like the most life-changing thing. I think there's like 12,000 women in this group who just go on and compliment each other and bring each other up if they're having a hard day.
That's so awesome.
And it's anywhere from ages, I think the youngest person's like, I think there's a 16-year-old in there to like a 60-year-old in there. And I'm just like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I know it like has a lot to do with who I am, but you really did inspire me for without even knowing I'd ever see you or meet you.
My goodness.
That's so
to
cool.
be kind. So just know the impact that you guys do have.
We love hearing
on
that. Thank
people.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And
I felt a little vulnerable saying that.
I love that.
You're going to make me cry saying that. It's really so cool. special for us to hear that.
But it is, and I hope everybody out there just knows how good it feels to be kind. So,
I
do love what you said. That is cool. It's cool to be kind. Like,
yeah,
bullying's mm-hmm. not cool. It's not. No matter what age, it's just, I was so ashamed. I saw a tweet. I tweeted a Kim Kardashian like 10 years ago or something. And I was like, it wasn't like terrible. Mm-hmm. But I was like, why would I say that about her? Yeah. I was probably having a bad day. I was probably jealous of her hair team and like, you know, something. And I'll never forget. I was like, I'm an idiot. I was that girl. But I mean, I'll admit it.
We've all been that girl.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
We've all been on both sides. And I think it's so important to remember that and not beat ourselves up. But like you're saying, like, that doesn't make me feel good. Looking back on that doesn't make me feel good. And I think that's the important part.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Kim's listening, and this is my apology to
definitely.
So, okay, I'm making sure I hit everything in my notes, my lack of notes. I usually do confessions in all of my podcasts.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have one for me, but my confession already said that I followed you guys and was like,
yeah, I want my relationship to be like them.
So just like anything
that you want to get off your chest, and I will.
Ooh,
I'm here for you. There's no judgment in this podcast.
Confessions. Well, gosh, I wish I thought more about this because this isn't like a great one. But being a new mom, I guess like I've just learned. I'm learning so much so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put in little breast pads.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
Didn't put in little breast pads this morning. And, like, I hate wearing bras. Like, before having a baby, I literally never wore a bra. Never. And so I'm, like, sitting before we did this podcast. I took off my bra. I'm like, God, this thing is so annoying. I just took it off. And then started leaking all over myself. And so...
Well, it's dry.
It's dried up a little bit, but like walked into this podcast for all you mothers out there with wet boobies.
and it was the best.
And it was just like that moment where, oh, well, my body's different now and that's okay. It's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it? It's probably so wild to accept these changes because you like see this little life you've created and you're like, anything is worth it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
No, it really is. Erin and I were at the Vanity Fair party the other night after the Oscars and I was like every 30 minutes in the bathroom in my whole, like my dress, my whole thing, just literally milking myself.
Yeah.
And it's just like
glamorous.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. No, but it's like it's so worth it. Yeah. It's like the most amazing thing in the world.
That's
having this little babe.
I think that's such a cool shift in women too after having babies and how much more you're just like, this is my body. And like I've created, I always say that to my girlfriends. I'm like, your body It's not like they're not boobs anymore. Like, they keep a baby alive. Like, you are keeping a child alive with your body. And that is the most beautiful thing. Like,
oh, my God. Yes.
I couldn't. When you walked in, I was like, and you're how far along?
Eight months. Yeah.
And I was like, I know people don't feel beautiful in those moments, but when I see a pregnant woman, I'm like, you're the most stunning person I've ever seen.
You're a queen.
Like, you are a queen.
Yes.
You are just like, I know you don't feel the glowing, but you are.
Yeah.
And you're just like carrying life. And I'm like, women are so beautiful.
Yeah.
They are.
I was just sharing this with a girlfriend of mine, Sam, just a couple of days ago, about like one of the most, I think, beautiful things that I've walked away from being pregnant and then going through labor, which was a gnarly experience. It was amazing, but tough.
Yeah.
And tough is not the right word. Like, labor is crazy. Like, for everyone, you just like, you realize like, wow, like, women are insane.
Yeah.
Like, we can do anything.
Totally.
Like, it's crazy. But something that has been so eye-opening for me is just as a woman, like, we carry so many, like, we've talked about insecurities, especially, like, body dysmorphia, right? Like, body issues. And that comes from so many different spaces. But through that experience, just, like, looking at my body, I mean, you just said it, but in such a different way, having such a new respect for my body.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know, oh, I wish this was different or whatever. We, like, do that to ourselves all the time. But I'm like, we also, your bodies, and you know, whether you choose to have kids or not, like, your body also has,
is
capable of, and like, has this other, can have this other purpose and functionality that is so insane.
It really is.
And it really, like, made me look at myself so differently.
Yeah.
Like, I am rad.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
I have
milk all over myself right now, but this is rad. Like, cool.
You're like, that can also keep a child alive.
Yes,
so.
It's
truly.
It is. It's really, being a woman is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Do you have a confession for us?
Oh my goodness. I've been trying to think as we've been talking. Well, I'm like, one that's coming to mind, it's similar, but not, I feel like yours is more beautiful. Mine's more in like the pregnant state of being right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know where you're going. Go there, girl.
Yeah. It's just like,
oh, you should hear.
This is really TMI. Like,
no. You should hear the confessions that come out on this podcast. They're amazing.
Let me just say, I wish I had a donut not to eat, but to sit on right now, because hemorrhoids while pregnant are so real.
Yes.
And I've
heard this.
I'm experiencing them in a new way that is rocking my world. And
that's
I won't say much more because I don't want to freak anyone out, but...
No, that's...
Oh,
again,
it is so real.
All of my girlfriends, we're all so open with each other, and they're just... I really... You know how people are like, you cannot ever be prepared for motherhood or, like, pregnancy. You have to go through it to really... I really feel like I'm being set up in a proper way because my girlfriends get so real with me. What's that noise?
Mm-hmm. They're like, don't talk about hemorrhoids. Make her stop. Make her stop.
No, talk about it. This is what confessions are for. But yeah, it's just what your body goes through.
It's important
crazy.
To be open about it.
It is important.
You need to be prepped for it because
Absolutely.
I feel like there isn't enough conversation. Molly is like so inspiring in that way. Like, you're so honest about all of the good
it's
and
important.
The tough parts of it, for sure.
I do think the basis of this whole podcast has been like having conversation about important things and even if it's tough conversation to go there. So
Well, I feel like it helps other people who may be going through something similar to realize that they're not alone and that they're not, you know, like if someone's listening to this, maybe sitting on their couch, like on an ice pack, like dealing with something similar, they're like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm not like, my body doesn't hate me. This is actually for a purpose. And just knowing that you're not alone, whether it's in motherhood or girls in high school or
so
middle school,
many things.
It's just so important.
That's
to
my
know
last
that
podcast
you have
that I just
system.
Did was the mental illness and having conversation around that. And we have to wrap things up, but I did want to say too, just on that note, my girlfriend went through the same thing as you with breastfeeding.
Oh, mastitis.
And she was so grateful that you posted because she said she wished that she had been following somebody that had gone through that so she was more aware. So she was just wanted to thank you for being open and honest about that kind of thing because so many women don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have someone out there who has people following them and can, I am going through that or know what it is if they do start to go through it. So
it's tough. I got it twice within the first 3 weeks of having this little babe and it's such a I mean, it can affect people, I'm sure, so differently.
Yeah.
But it was so gnarly. I mean, and it's like, and then you have this little baby who's like depending on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Molly went through it as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's this thing that, like, after I posted that, it was so crazy to read through comments, and it was like every single woman's like, I had that too. Yeah. And like, why didn't anyone prep me about it? And it's like, wow, we need to, have more conversations about, you know, anything that can
come up. And everything. Mm-hmm. That is, I'll close this podcast by saying that, like, I do want so many people to think of, oh, there it is.
You guys, the milk is back. I was like, something's wet. I'm leaking. I also have a bra on now. So, like, clearly I need to pump. I need to go feed my baby.
Then we're ending this at the right time. But that's, I just want people to use, take a picture. For using social media and using their voice for, yes.
Oh my God.
You still look so beautiful, though.
Oh, well, thank you. Is anyone hungry?
Now I am. But yeah, just using social media for positive and not to tear people down or compare or anything. Just be mindful.
Yeah.
With social media and how you use it and how you look at it. Yeah. So,
and I want to just say one quick, like, positive thing real quick, to leave it on this note. Like, we've been in schools for almost 10 years now. We've seen such a shift in like just this conversation socially in the world and also in schools. Like, something that's been so amazing for us to see is when we started this, there was zero conversation about it. Now it's rare that we walk into a school and don't see like posters on every wall that's like, this is how you detect bullying, this is who you see if you need help, like, come, you know, to this room at this time during the day for support. Like, there's such a different tone, I think, when it comes to bullying now. And the other thing that's really amazing, Molly was talking earlier about the different cards that we do, the kind pledge, the apology, and the kind card, to see the evolution in girls' voices over the last 10 years has been so cool, particularly in the last couple years. And I think it's really reflective of socially what's going on and how just like open and vulnerable and just like things are changing. But just in the last couple years, to hear the types of kind pledges girls are making and kind cards and apologies, and just like for the first time, like girls standing up there and like talking about their sexuality or like saying, like, if you are struggling with, you know, feeling like you can't be yourself, like, I will be someone that you can come talk to, or, you know, like, just taking every big social conversation that's happening right now, like, we're watching that mirrored in schools and girls being so like on fire to be a part of that conversation
And just empowered.
And so that's been really, we've had so many conversations about that over the last few tours, just seeing how mature and like it really feels like this upcoming generation is like on fire and like ready for like no BS, like we are ready to just like be kind. And
I've always been so fearful of having, starting a family and having kids, but I'm also, when I hear these stories and hear what you're saying about walking into schools now, I'm like, that actually is really hopeful.
There is so much hope.
And I think as long as people like yourselves keep doing what you're doing and we keep having these conversations, I just praise both of you. I think you're just changing the world. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And I just want people to know where they can go to donate, where they can find you guys, and how they can get involved.
Yeah, you can find more information about Kind Campaign, all of our programming, the Kind Ambassador Program, the Kind Club curriculum, our assembly program, all at kindcampaign.com. You can also follow us along on social media and our tours and adventures, and then just also serves as like a great positive place on social media at Kind Campaign. And you can also donate at kindcampaign.com too.
Thank you guys so
much for being here.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
That will... you'll make a difference even just from this podcast. So thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women in Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women and Money on Apple Podcasts, podcast1.com, and the new Podcast One app.